We have three scriptures today. First is Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Be to God.
So there is actually a game out there called the Ungame. You heard of that game? I know, I see, look out here, I know our youth have heard that game too, because Tammy and I have used that game with our youth group. It's simply this. It's a box of cards, a deck of cards, and on each card is a question. And the object of the game is not to win anything. Maybe that's why they call it the end game, but it's to get to know people. And so what happens is you gather in a circle and you pass that deck of cards to each person. They pull a card from the deck, they read a question, and they have to answer that question. Although every once in a while there's a special ask somebody else a question card. But most of the time you get a card, you're stuck with having to answer it. And really and truly, the way that we play it is you cannot pass. You really need to be able to answer the question. Now there are two levels. One level are very simple questions, really icebreaker-type questions. The next level is when you play with a group that you know for a little bit because they ask deeper questions. I have a favorite question that's part of the icebreaker question. Out of all the things that they ask, like what's your favorite family tradition or your favorite memory or some of those different things, my favorite question is this. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? So guess what, church? I'm asking you that question now. For those of you online, if you have access to chat on YouTube or even the comments section, you can answer this question. And for those of you here, well, get a glimpse at what you're thinking about. Do you wish you had the superpower of running really fast like the Flash? Oh. People here are more comfortable. All right, we have one back there. We could run really fast. Okay. How about to become invisible whenever you want it to? A few more. How about to fly? Okay, we've got a flyer here. I have dreams where I'm flying quite a lot. So, yeah, fine. How about time travel? To be able to go back. Okay, I see some questions there. And that used to be a favorite of mine. I think, wouldn't it be great if I could go back and be there when Jesus was walking the earth with his disciples? But then, I need the superpower of languages so I can understand Aramaic, because I would not be able to understand a word anybody said. So those of you online, I hope you shared. Those of you here, I hope that there is a special superpower that you thought of. Some of you might be Spider-Man fans, so maybe you would rather crawl walls and shoot webs. I don't know. I watch too much Marvel movies, I think. Guess what? Jesus had a superpower, and he believed in that superpower. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Jesus' superpower, well, signs and wonders, miracles, right? Because when you read the Gospels, that's what we see. Here is Jesus who turned water into wine, very popular at that wedding party. Here is Jesus who was able to calm stormy waters. Here's Jesus who was able to walk on said waters. Here is Jesus who was able to feed thousands of people. His disciples helped with that. And they were able to feed thousands of people on a hill, men, women, and children. Here's Jesus who was able to cure by the touch of a hand, by spitting into mud and smearing that mud on someone's eyes. Here's mud in your eye. That's where it came from. And Jesus who, even at a distance, could heal. Jesus who was able to give life to Lazarus, to Jairus' daughter, to Peter's mother-in-law, to so many. And Jesus who was resurrected from the dead. Signs and wonders, miracles. That would seem to be Jesus' superpower, right? Well, I'm appreciative of the insight of Rebecca Simon Peter, who says, you know what? All those signs and wonders, those miracles, well, they are the actual results of Jesus' superpower. But they are not. This does not reflect what Jesus' superpower is. Jesus' superpower was to, in the midst of all the challenges in life, in the midst of all the conflicts that we encounter, in the midst of all these different things that could happen, Jesus' superpower was to choose a miracle-making mindset. Say that with me. Miracle-making mindset. We know that Jesus faced challenges in his life. He gets baptized and boom, he goes out in the wilderness. Is there for a long time, 40 days, the scriptures tell us. And he's out there and he is tempted by the devil. Jesus gets through that challenge, but then he starts his ministry. One of the first things that he does is he goes to the synagogue in his hometown and he picks a scroll of Isaiah, starts to read it, and then he shares the conclusion of that scripture, the consequences of that scripture. I have come to fulfill this scripture. And do you think everybody was happy about it? No, they wanted to kill him. They were angry. Jesus encountered that a lot in his travels. There was even the time that he was out with his followers, surrounded by those that were learning from him, when his family came by with shackles in their hand because they heard that their son had gone nuts. It's there in the scriptures. Read it. Jesus was constantly tested by those that became his opponents. The Pharisees and scribes, all those folks that didn't understand Jesus, that were afraid of Jesus, that began to hate Jesus. And finally, Jesus faced arrest and being beat up and a trial where he was found guilty of sedition and then hung on a cross. In all those challenges, what did Jesus do? He chose faith over fear. God's future over fear. And that is the superpower of a miracle-making mindset. Now, we in this series have been talking about not only believing in Jesus, but moving toward believing like Jesus. Moving from disciples who believe in Jesus and follow Jesus to apostles who believe like Jesus. And over the past couple of weeks, we've talked about how it is that we believe like Jesus, that we have a divine partnership with God, and that we partner with God in God's good work in this world. And that just like Jesus, our prayers have power. They make a difference in this world. They're not empty words that we spout. Very similarly, we also have access to this superpower of a miracle-making mindset, especially when we are encountering the challenges in our life. So, yay? Well, what do we mean by miracles? I think we struggle with that a little bit, don't we? Signs and wonders, miracles. We are heirs of this movement centuries ago called the Enlightenment that still goes on. That movement where great thinkers in the world, although many began as religious folk, started thinking about just how much God has given us the faculties of reason and have reasoned through certain things. And when it comes to reading the Gospels and reading all that Jesus has done through his miracles, well, we try to think through, what does that mean right now? It's been a struggle we've had for a long time. One of our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, you know, not the one who chopped down the cherry tree, by the way, but very powerful in the Declaration of Independence, right? Thomas Jefferson was the original cut and paster. He took the New Testament because he loved Jesus, that he found there. He loved Jesus' ethics. But he put together a New Testament, and you know what? He cut out all the miracles that were there. Why? What rational person would believe these things? You can still purchase the Thomas Jefferson Bible on the internet today, by the way, through Amazon. We struggle with that. How do we understand that? I went to a page on PBS, a page where they were talking about, they were doing a special on Jesus, probably around Easter, but I came across a page where there was an article written about miracles, and in that article, people were talking about, well, how do we think about these miracles now? And every paragraph was filled with some sort of rational explanation. Like Jesus walking on water. He didn't really walk on water because you can't walk on water. He must have been close to the shore, and people had the illusion that he walked on water. Or that Jesus, when he did his cures, what he really did was more of a psychological thing, which really brought people wholeness, and he didn't really cure them. And, you know, and things like when Jesus would cure people, drive out demons, well, he was really curing people who were mentally ill or who had epilepsy. This is a case of missing the point. We're always going to struggle when it comes to the miraculous, to those things that, those events that science and our rational minds can't come to grips with. It must be the divine, right? But what we can really, truly understand is that when the miraculous happens, whether it can be explained rationally or not, it is a place where we see God's work being done. God's will being done. In John's gospel, the miracles were called signs because it wasn't the miracle that was the big thing. Jesus always seemed to kind of slow down when people said, show us more, show us more. He's saying, that's not what's important. In John's gospel, it pointed. That's why it was a sign. Jesus turning water into wine wasn't so people could party more at a wedding party. Jesus turning water into wine was to say, look what God can do. And so what I would like for us to see is that miracles are all around us where we can see what God is doing in this world. And especially in those moments where we are faced with great conflict, where we find the world pushing down on us, God is there with us. And in the midst of that, we can grab a hold of that superpower that Jesus believed in, that we can believe in, where we can have a miracle-making mindset too, where we can grab a hold of faith and let go of fear. How do we know we can do that? Well, the Apostle Paul shares that with us, right? Didn't we hear that in Larry's words today? When Paul was speaking to the church in Rome, the believers there, after sharing with the believers several chapters where he was saying, you know what? You're all sinners, and you all need Jesus. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one who loves you. And then Paul says, here's how you know that you could be a part of what Jesus is doing in the world. Don't conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed in the renewing of your minds. Then you are able to discern God's will, what is good and acceptable and perfect, the bestest ever, right? That's what it means to grab a hold of that. And Paul is telling people that because what he says even before that, he says, this is how you can offer your whole life to God everywhere you go in the world, where you work, where you go to school. Everywhere you go, you can offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. That means give your whole heart to God. And you can do that by not conforming, but transforming. Say this with me. No conforming. Always transforming. Amen. Paul shares that advice with the Roman Christians, and then he shares advice with someone that he's mentoring, a young man named Timothy, whose grandmother and mother were good followers of Jesus, and through them he came to the faith. And so he was going to go out in the world, he was going to share Jesus. And then Paul shares these wonderful words that Larry shared earlier, and I love this. It says, God doesn't give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. I think we're all great with power and love. The self-discipline thing, it's like, uh-oh. But that's what God gives us. It's a gift. And what Paul is trying to tell Timothy is that this is what it means, again, to give yourself to God. And you can do anything because God gives you courage. God gives you power. God gives you love. And God can give you self-discipline. Amen? And this is a gift of God, right? That's what Paul shared in his love letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. You don't earn this. Nothing you can do can get this. You could be a good person. Yay. That's not what it's about. We are saved because it is a gift of God. And it is that gift of God that is that superpower of miracle making. There's a lot of different names we could give that superpower of miracle making. I think some have called it working on our salvation. But it is a superpower, and you know why? Because it is given to us, but we have to practice it, right? It's not like, boom! Anytime we face hardship in life, we're just going to go there. We're going to go to this miracle-making mindset. We're going to hold on to faith. And we're not going to be able to, we're going to let go of our fear. We know what happens. That fear is very palpable, and that fear comes on us, and we struggle. But then we can practice and remember, most especially remember that God is with us, so that we know we've got this, we can take on this miracle-making mindset to get through the craziness that we are going through. How can we begin to do that? Well, each week I've been sharing some spiritual disciplines with you that come from the writings of Rebecca Simon Peter and from a colleague of mine, R.J. Davis. And this week is fairly simple. Two parts. One is each day when you are talking to God. And is everybody talking to God every day? Well, when you're talking with God, one of the things you can do is to think about the pattern of your thoughts. Not your thought, your thoughts as well, but really the pattern, the consequence of your thoughts. Do your thoughts, which form your beliefs and feed your behavior, do your thoughts build up your faith, or do they tear you down? That's something we don't always think about. That's something we tend to ignore. But if we're really intentional in thinking it through, a rational thing that we do, then we can say, well, no wonder I'm having such a difficult time. I'm beating myself up. No wonder I can't help this other people, this other person that I really want to help, that I really love, because I'm beating myself up. I'm thinking I'm not worthy. But you are worthy. And you can think about that thought and let it go and replace it with the thought that I am worthy. And I can begin to build a relationship with this person. And that in itself is a miracle, isn't it? Let me tell you, we're not going to, you know, tomorrow go out to City Park and give lessons on walking on the lake. Right? Some of you are going to take me up on that, aren't you? I would struggle with that. But you know what would be a miracle that would be awesome? Is that each and every one of us met somebody new tomorrow. We can do this. We just don't. But we can meet somebody new tomorrow, and we don't just meet them, but we build a relationship with them. And that process, then eventually we get to share Jesus with them, just like we share anything else with them. What if every person in this sanctuary, what if every person watching us online was to build a new relationship just one day? Imagine how things would change. Oh, Kevin, we don't see people in the sanctuary. Oh, Kevin, I don't know how many people are worshiping online. By the way, we have a lot of good people worshiping online, about 50 at least each week. Everybody wave and say hi to everybody online. So let you know our attendance is actually pretty high. But I just want to share with you that we hear all these different things. Oh, well, people aren't coming. It's like, well, why aren't they? That's part of the miracle. We need to let go of the thing, well, I can't do that. All the people I know are believers. We'll find an unbeliever. There are a lot of good places to go. Man, Lori, I'm right there. I talked with Jennifer Bonafide yesterday. Had the bestest conversation. Sis was there. We had a great conversation as well. An awesome place to be. Those are places where you can have conversations with people. Do that. I'm an introvert. I can preach, okay, but it's hard for me to do these things. But God doesn't give us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-discipline. These are things that we can be a part of. Friends, earlier this week, it wasn't yesterday, but I was taking a candidate for our office administrator position. By the way, I hired that person. They'll be starting the first Monday in October. You should come by and meet our new office administrator, our part-time office administrator. She'll work Monday through Thursday, 9 to 2. But as Christy Hunter and I were giving her a tour, we went down History Hall. How many people have been down History Hall over here? Show of hands. Okay, those of you online, I see your hands too. History Hall here starts from 1834 and goes on. We could still, Carolyn, you were a big part of that project. And Larry, we can build a whole other plaque now that takes us more into this century a little bit. But what we have is just a wonderful history of our church. And I'm always proud when I show somebody new that history. But I'm also mindful of all the challenges that have happened and all of the things that required a mindset of miracle making in order for it to happen. How about getting through COVID? We're still getting through COVID, but in a lot of ways we are coming back. But how tough was that? You know, that came to my heart too. When I was talking to our candidate and I'm talking to her and I'm thinking, gosh, that was such a scary time. We had to do online church. We didn't know what we were doing, but we figured out a way, and we had talented people that helped us to figure out a way. From the days where we used to just use an iPhone on a stand in the middle here, and then when the choir sang, we figured out how to do online church, and we're doing pretty good at it. We reach 50-plus people online. Hello, everybody online. We're reaching people. And you know what? We had confirmation during COVID. And we connected with youth during COVID. And we had adult small groups on church. People are saying, oh, we didn't have church during COVID. No, we did have church. Church never stopped because the miracles were happening. We were able to continue on with church. As we've come through, we've had all sorts of challenges, haven't we? Oh, and Wildcat Academy. How cool is that? Our connection with Wildcat Academy was wonderful. When others were struggling a little bit, we were able to continue our connection with that school. I always remember, we're coming through. We're getting ready to open back up. Yay. And then the Thursday before we were going to open back up after being the second time that we were closed for COVID, as far as on-site worship, we were online. That's when the water pipes decide to break in the pantry in the RCLC. We were able to do that because we were open to faith, not fear. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing some great people that were a part of that movement to get that done. Our parking lot, you know, there were times where you can drive and, you know, your car could disappear in a crevice or something out there. We were able to take care of that. Now, some of those are surface things, but all those have impact on our ministry, on people that we reach. You see, there are miracles all around us. We just get used to it. We just take it for granted. Friends, really, today is simple. If we're to believe like Jesus, then we need to believe that we have access to the superpower of choosing a miracle-making mindset in the midst of all the challenges that we have, that we do not have to despair because God gives us the gift of faith, faith that we can have and let go of fear. It's kind of as simple as that. But we have to embrace, just like Jesus did, that we can access that superpower. So whether you would rather fly or be invisible or time travel or crawl up the wall like Spider-Man, know that the true superpower you can have is that superpower of a miracle-making mindset. You know who else knew about that miracle-making mindset? St. Francis. So let's have his words, his prayer, guide us this day. I want to invite you to stand as you're able. Let's face that cross, although the words are going to be on your screen too. You can read those. And I want us to join together in these words. We'll say this prayer together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive. It is in the pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And all God's people said, Amen.